has a few moments just to share with us from her heart, just a little bit about what she does and how we are participating in that. So welcome, Jana.
Thank you. I'm going to leave some of these little postcards in the back, tell a little bit about who we are and what we do. So if you want to remember to pray, they'll be in the back there. Coming to Koinonia for me is always, I don't know how to express what it is. But my family, my husband, I, and two children were members of Koinonia way back in the 80s. Actually in the 70s and then again in the 80s. And I have, they're not children anymore, grown-ups sitting in the congregation this morning who I was their kindergarten teacher. And so you come from being the kindergarten teacher, and then you come to this point, and my boss in Switzerland sitting in the audience today, my daughter and son-in-law. So church is a community where life takes on meaning and comes together, and you realize all the pieces, but what brings us together is who God is and how faithful. We've seen him faithful. I love as we worship that we can keep rehearsing how good God is. And where I go and what I do, when I see the saddest and the darkest places, but I know that he walked into that darkness, and there is nothing too dark or too awful for God. And he takes us to those places, and he's faithful in those places. One of the people that works with me in the Women and Children's Advocacy Center, which I direct, had put together a four-song CD, and she sings a song about, it's a true story about a young woman in Thailand who was raised in a Christian home, but she was trafficked into prostitution at the age of 16. And above her bed, she wrote the verse that God was faithful to her, that he is her light and her salvation. And so every night she rehearsed that verse, and she looked to God to be her salvation. And eventually, after a few years of this, but her believing God to be in that dark place, God did rescue her through another Christian organization. God is in the darkest places. So when we sing the songs, we kind of always relate them to ourselves, and we feel like our place is dark, but there's always a darker place than where we are. And God's faithful in those dark places. I wanted to just take a few minutes this morning to bring that to you and to say this is what we do and this is how we work and this is what we believe about God. And I've got up here this verse, Isaiah 1:17. The Women and Children's Advocacy Center that I direct, this is our verse. And I love it that God says, learn to do right. Because to me it says, okay, he knows we don't know how to do it, but we can learn. We can learn how do you go into a community where the poorest and the smallest and the most needy are, and how do you seek justice for them? How do you encourage them? How do you defend the cause of the fatherless and plead the case of the widow? We aren't born knowing. And sometimes even in our salvation experience, depending on our culture, we don't quite get how do you do that? How do you encourage? How do you stand beside? How do you plead the case? What does it look like in Hanford and Kings County to defend the cause of the widow here? And it'll look different here than it will look someplace else. But that idea of being with is huge. And that's what God asks us to do, is to be with people. So, just before 1:17 in Isaiah is 1:16. In verse 1:16 in, stop doing wrong. And then verse 17 says, learn to do right. And we have found that 60% of ministries to children at risk fail within 2 years. That is a huge and sad statistic, that there are people out there trying to do their best at providing homes or food or shelter or education for children in the poorest and most needy places. But those ministries are failing at 60% every 2 years. So what we do with the Women and Children's Advocacy Center is come alongside those people to figure out how do we strengthen who you are. You've got a good idea here. How do we make it work? How do we help you be successful and fruitful at what God's called you to do? And so we're exploring how to do it right and how to help make them successful. Our mission statement is, the Women and Children's Advocacy Center brings people, resources, training, and information together for the benefit of women and children at risk. We believe by working together in hope and interdependence, we can bring change. It's the whole body of Christ. It's every one of us doing. And I one of the things I love about this idea of the widow and the orphan, and God says it over and over and over again in Scripture, is that he doesn't give us a choice in it. It's like evangelism, actually. Everybody. It's not just if you feel really good about little kids, you work with little kids. Everybody figures out what their piece is in that. And so I really felt like God said, but it'll only work if everybody focuses on it. The church has enough people. The church has enough money. And the church has enough technology that 29,000 children a day don't need to be dying from preventable causes. But it will take all of us exploring the idea of how do we work in interdependence? How do you bring your gift to the table? And I bring my gift to the table. I bring what I have. You make up for what I don't have. And what does that look like? But this issue of hope is really important. If the body of Christ doesn't hold hope for the smallest and the weakest and the poorest and the most needy, there is no hope. But for us to believe, what was our beyond the possible? We get frozen at the possible. God's asking us to go beyond the possible. And I love that concept. And he's asking us to believe for the impossible things and to keep carrying that hope into the darkest situations, that God does have solutions for financial issues, for illiteracy issues, for how do we get a church into an area. He has creative solutions for every issue. And it's important that the church carry that hope. I want to thank you that you support me every month very faithfully. And I look forward to knowing you all more. I was talking to Roger today, and Roger Watson, and realizing how much older we are now. But this idea that I was thinking of Psalm 127, it talks about children being our inheritance. And I was thinking for Roger, I mean, the investment he put into children's lives year after year when we were here. And it talks about your quiver being full of these arrows. And it's wonderful that we can, each of you, have some place you can be shooting off to, something, some area. And when someone's invested in your life or you've invested into someone else's life. So thank you for investing in my life and what I do. Appreciate your faithfulness, and I like that we can work in interdependence and hope. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenna. That was great. That was great. Boy, I'll tell you, I'm glad that God's not just within these four walls, but he's omnipresent. He's every place doing some great stuff. Well, we've already had a full morning. Have you got 20 more minutes left in you? Turn to someone and ask them, are you an LBP person? Are you an LBP person? Are you an LBP person? Are you a person who's living beyond the possible? My wife's short. It went right over her head. LBP person. An LBP person. Person who's chosen to live beyond the possible has made two decisions. Number one, when it comes into conflict of the senses and the Word of God always wins. They've made that decision. There are times when I see things, I hear things, I taste things, I smell things, I touch things. If whatever that experience is, if it's contradictory to the Word of God, then I'm always going to side with the Word of God. If my senses tell me that I should do this, but the Word of God tells me that I should do that, I'm deciding to do what the Word of God tells me. My senses says, hate your enemy, but the Bible says, love your enemy. My senses say, man, you've been so miserable, I'm going to smack you up across your head. The Bible says, turn the cheek. You're always going to yield to what God says. Bible says that you ought to be water baptized if you made the decision for Jesus Christ. Well, big man alive, that's just water. All you do is get wet. How stupid is that? Well, that may be what your senses say to you, but the Word of God says it's an important decision that you get to make. When a person who's an LBP has decided that when it comes into conflict, the senses and the Word of God, they're going to yield to the Word of God. The second decision that an LBP person has made is a decision to focus on the eternal and not the temporal. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight. I'm going to be one who focuses and contends for what I don't see rather than what I do see. Because everything that we see is perishable. You know, you can go home and as we're reading a book together that's titled Living Beyond the Possible. This series is titled Living Beyond the Possible. The author of that book is going to be with us next week, as you've already heard. In that book that we're reading, we've read chapters 5 through 10 this week. I'm encouraging you to read 11 through 15 for next week. And he talks about stickers that were given out to people, and it says perishable. Take them and put them on all of the things at your house, because it's all going away. An LBP person is one who decides to become one who says, I'm going to focus on the kingdom of God before my own kingdom. What does Matthew 6 say? Seek first the kingdom of God, and then all that stuff is going to be added to you. And let me tell you, if you don't have the stuff, you don't need the stuff. Because what we really need is the kingdom of God. Now I want to introduce you to a man in the Bible who was hindered from becoming an LBP person. He wasn't able to live beyond the possible because he was so overcome with his senses. What he could hear, what he could see, taste, smell, touch. It's found in 2 Kings chapter 6, if you want to turn there with me. There's a guy by the name of Elisha who's a prophet. Then there's this guy by the name of, his name's not given, but he's a servant. And it's the servant who is stuck and unable to live beyond the possible because of what's happening in his senses. I'm going to pick up the story in verse 13 of 2 Kings chapter 6. And just to give you just a little bit of background, there's a king of Aram that's really ticked off at Elisha. Elisha's a prophet. God is revealing some inside secrets to Elisha. Elisha is sharing these secrets with the king of Israel. And he is causing the plans of this king of Aram to not succeed. The king is ticked off, so he's sending some people out to get Elisha. And here's where we pick up the story. He says to his troops, go find out where Elisha is, verse 13, so I can send men and capture him. Well, the report came back, he's at a place called Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a strong force there. They went by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh my Lord, what are we going to do? Do you remember last week when June Evans talked about a woman in an earthquake? If you were here, and she was running up and down the corridor. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Frantic. Well, that's kind of like the picture of this guy. Verse 16, Elisha says, don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them. So Elisha prayed, O Lord, open his eyes that he may see. And then all of a sudden the Lord opened the servant's eyes. He looked and he saw hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around. In other words, he was able now to see beyond what he saw temporally, and he saw an angelic host that God had sent to deal with the situation that he was confronting. But he was unable to see beyond the armies that were surrounding the city until God opened his eyes. We're first told that this guy got up early in the morning and he saw something that ruined his day. Have you ever been sleeping in the morning and everything's going well and then you got up? And then all of a sudden you saw something, you experienced something. It affected your senses and it just ruined everything. I had the privilege of doing a wedding yesterday in an outdoors arena, just at a house in the backyard. When the bride woke up in the morning, I can tell you she was ecstatic because she saw the sun. Beautiful, beautiful day. Just sitting, standing out there doing that ceremony. It wasn't even hot at all. Just gorgeous. I have done services outside where when the bride woke up in the morning, she saw clouds. And it got darker and darker all the time. And just an hour before the ceremony, they didn't have a second plan. It started to pour down rain. What she saw was rain coming, and it ruined her day. If you've ever had some people over to your house, if you have 10 people coming over to your house, and 10 minutes before they arrive, you see the dog with a tri-tip in his mouth. It's going to ruin your day. When my boys were small, one of them was sitting on my lap. We were going to Selland Arena, which we had rented for the Easter weekend. We couldn't fit all the people into the church that we had, the building, so we rented this hall in Fresno, and we were on the way, and my wife was driving, and I had a nice gray suit on. I was going to lead worship that day, and as I'm sitting there, I noticed that my senses were affected. I smelt something, I felt something, and then I saw something. You know, I should have known it because my little son was so quiet. You know, it's kind of like, you know, they can be active. Have you ever seen a little kid in the pool? They're swimming around, all of a sudden they go. Now, if you're ever in a little pool and you see a little kid just standing still, you know what's happening. And as I felt this warm ooze all over my pants, I looked down and I saw a big, and it wasn't a dark gray suit, it was a light gray suit. That ruined my day. I didn't know what I was going to do because I didn't have time to change. We had a late start. Sometimes certain things can ruin your day. Well, he got up early and he saw this army, and he knew intuitively that this army wasn't there for a social visit. They were there to do damage. And all of a sudden, if you were putting yourself into his shoes, all of a sudden you could start feeling his heart palpitate a little bit faster. You could all of a sudden sense that, man, this flight or fight syndrome begin to kick in. I'll bet his legs were even begin to tremble as he looked at this massive army. It doesn't just say an army, it says a great army. They were a lot more than he was. This is definitely a time when he would say, this is bigger than I am. That's why we've titled this message that, when things are bigger than us. I remember the first time that I ever spoke before people. I had bell bottoms on. It was in the 60s, and I can remember my leg just shaking so much. I don't know if they saw it or not, because bell bottoms are pretty baggy, but my leg was just shaking. I can imagine this guy was just shaking with fear, because Elisha says, don't be afraid. So we know that fear was gripping his heart. See, it wasn't the fact that he saw the enemy, it was the fact that he lost sight of God, who was on the side of those who love him. I see the enemy, and sometimes my emotions and my senses can overwhelm me, and all of a sudden my world begins to close in on me, and I can't see anything except what's confronting me. Some of you may be here today and you're experiencing that. Maybe you're surrounded with bills. Man, you've got them coming from everywhere. Maybe the bill collector, it's long past due, and all you can see is bills. Maybe some of you are in the military and you just flew in from San Diego, beautiful San Diego. You've been stationed there for a few years. And now you're stationed in this area. And you look around and you see nothing around you of beauty. And you may wonder, where is, you know, the Lord? Some of you may be on jobs and the people that you associate with, they're just against you, or they don't like you. You haven't fit in. And that's maybe all you can see. And your love, your world has really closed in. I can remember my first love, the first girl that I ever kissed, and when she broke up with me. Her name was Linda Drummond. That was my world. You know, today in the youth, it's not about the world, it's about their world. And the world has really narrowed down. And I can remember when Linda Drummond broke up with me, I was ready to die. I'm only in the eighth grade. Life's over. It's gone. It's done. Crying, doing all the things you do. Just that's all I could see. I lost sight of the fact that there's a life beyond Linda Drummond. There's actually a wife beyond Linda Drummond. She's right here. So many times we go get involved in life and we feel like this is it. And the enemy blinds us because our emotions are leading us. Our senses are dominating. But if you're going to be a person who lives beyond the possible, you and I are going to have to deal with our senses. And thank God for those senses, but bring them under the submission of God's Word and His Holy Spirit. See, God gave you sight, He gave you hearing sight, He gave you smell, taste, He gave you an ability to touch so that you could experience the temporal world. But if you allow your senses to be the only source of your decisions and your conclusions that you make, you lock yourselves into this temporal world and lock yourselves out of the eternal world. Because it's faith. See, faith has eyes of itself. Faith becomes the bridge that gets you from this ledge to that ledge. When you put your faith in Jesus, all of a sudden your eyes are open to see what you couldn't see before. And this guy experienced that, and all of a sudden his fear was calmed down. I was surrounded, speaking about the eighth grade, I remember a time when four or five guys cornered me in the hallways of Gardner Junior High School. I was brought up in the state of Maine. And I was in the hallway, and these four or five guys didn't like me. I have no idea why, because I was such a great kid. There are some people who don't like me today, and I can't understand that either. I'm such a nice guy. Tell them I'm a nice guy. But these guys didn't like me, and they were going to beat the tar out of me. And I, just like this servant, I was beginning to fear, and I started to tremble. And then all of a sudden, something happened. Confidence started to come back to me. I started to get brave. I put my shoulders back. I actually started to trash talk back to them. See, because I saw something that they didn't see. I saw a teacher by the name of Mr. Ingerson just about 5 to 10 yards away making his way to the place. Now, Mr. Ingerson, see, back when I went to school, it was in the day that, you know, you dealt with kids however you needed to deal with them, discipline them the way you needed to discipline them so they'd turn out right. Now you can't even look at a kid wrong without getting sued. I mean, I've had Mr. Bailey, you talk about school, back in the sixth grade, Mr. Bailey picked me up right by the shirt and just held me up here. Because I had said to the crossing guard, you know, who was a little overweight, I said, "Fatty, fatty, 2x4, can't get through the kitchen door." And the principal heard about that, picked me up. I'm literally peeing my pants in the sixth grade. So this is back in the day when teachers had some clout and ability. And this Mr. Ingerson was the toughest of the toughest teachers. I mean, he was a big, brawly guy. I'm sure he's gone on at this point. But he's coming. So all of a sudden, I know I'm not going to get beat up. See, now that's what happened to this servant. All of a sudden, when his eyes were open to see that the eternal realm, he knew that things were going to be okay. Now, I wonder how often you and I lose sight of the fact that God's on our side. We go through life, and all of a sudden, well, this is it. You know, this is it. I might as well die. Go home and be with Jesus. But listen, the truth of this scripture isn't about. It's not about Elisha. The truth of this scripture is not about the servant. The truth of this scripture reveals that God is on the side of those who love Him. He opposes the proud, but I'll tell you, He warms up to the humble. You humbly come to God, and He's going to fight your battles. You'll read scriptures like Romans 8 that says, if He's going to be for you, and actually the Greek tense is, since He is for you, no one's really going to be able to stand against you. But I'm telling you, we can lose sight of that without a touch from the living God. So I've been praying, God, open our eyes to see the impossible. Because one quote in the book that you're reading, if you chose to read it, he says, only he who sees the invisible is able to do the impossible. If you and I are going to move beyond the possible into the supernatural realm where God does what only He can do, you and I are going to have to see beyond our problems. We're going to have to ask him to give us new glasses so that we can stop being short-sighted and think that everything revolves around us, and because I don't get what I want or when I want it, how I want it, that the life has come to an end. So I've asked the Lord, show me what to do. How can you open my eyes? And so I'm going to pray that prayer with you at the end of our time together. God, open our eyes to see. I want to give you five things if you're taking notes. Let me leave you with five ways that God opens our eyes to see. The first thing that we have to do is we have to come to the Lord, and that's exactly what Elisha did. You don't want to go to your eye specialist. You want to go to the living God, because he's the one who cures blindness. He's the one who can open blind eyes. He's the one who can heal sickness. He's the one who can deliver from bondages. He's the one who can do that. So you have to come to him. And Isaiah is a wonderful scripture. In chapter 55, it says, come to me with your eyes wide open. Listen, for the life of your soul is at stake. I'm ready to make an everlasting covenant with you. I'll give you all the mercies and unfailing love that I promised. Isaiah says, come to the Lord. Come to me. David says, Lord, open my eyes that I can see wonderful things in your word. He's appealing to the highest authority that there is. If you don't open my eyes, I can't see. What are you in need of seeing today? Are you in a situation where your life has crowded in upon you and you can't see beyond what you're facing? What do you need to have God do to help you to see? Because we're coming to him and say, open our eyes. I did that on Friday. For many of you, you are aware of the fact that we're entering into, as of just next week, and then especially the week following, we're entering into a capital campaign called Future Hope. We believe that God is instructing us to take a step of faith, to build a 13,000 to 15,000 square foot building right across the entryway for our youth and our children. So that we don't have to keep closing classes. You know, last week, wasn't Easter week, just last week we had to close five classes for our kids in this service. Couldn't fit in. We have plenty of room for our adults, but we don't have room for our kids. Future Hope is all about building a 13 to 15,000 square foot building for our kids and our youth. Our youth right now, they meet back in this little room back here, which really isn't a room. They meet there sometime. They're all over the place. They need a place to call home. And I, as lead pastor here, I don't even want to move into this. You know what I mean? I'd rather just stay where we are. But, you know, you got to keep stepping in faith. You got to keep walking. And so on Friday, I says, God, you got to open my eyes, because I'm no different than anybody else who attends here. I got to see some stuff. You got to show me some stuff. How is this going to happen? This is a $2 million project. And for some, maybe that's peanuts. But for me, that's pretty massive. And next week, we're gonna receive you. Hopefully, you've received communications from me in the mailings. I probably haven't done as good a job as I should have, but you've heard me talk a little bit about it. I've been saying, let's pray to see what God wants you and me to do. How much can I contribute to have this done? We gave out packets last week that kind of looked like this. I didn't plan on doing this the first service, but it just came to me. If you weren't here last week and you would like one of these, please, ushers, do you have any of those available? Just raise your hand if you'd like one of these. This will tell you what Future Hope is all about. So ushers, if you wouldn't mind, just walk your way. If someone happens to be here, you weren't here last week. This is what we are beginning to be involved in. So I'm saying, God, you know, we're going to take 3-year pledges next week, but this thing needs to be built really within a year. And so I don't know how it's going to work out. So here's what I felt like he was saying to me. I was sitting right back here, and I felt like he told me to go out and sit in the middle of the dirt out there. So I got a chair and I went out in the dirt. This is just last two days ago. And I'm sitting in the middle of this. Did I even tell you this, Donna? I didn't even share this with my wife. Honey, just pretend I'm talking to you, okay? She says she likes it when I speak because she hears a lot of things that she would never hear otherwise. So I take this chair out there, and I'm sitting in the middle of the dirt, and it was just kind of the tractors had just come through, so it was really dusty. And I'm sitting there, and it's a little warm in the sun. I'm praying. I'm saying, okay, God, open my eyes. I'm thinking about this message. I'm just sitting like this. I said, God, open my eyes. I want to see what you're doing here. I want to see what you want me to see. So I go for about 5 or 10 minutes. I got my eyes closed. Nothing's happening. And all of a sudden, I just hear this little voice that says, well, Igmo, open your eyes. Oh. So I actually opened my eyes. Now, that may not seem stupid to you, but it kind of seemed funny to me because I began to learn the difference between imagining and envisioning. Imagining something you do with your eyes closed and you see something, but it's not real. That's the definition of imagination. Envisioning something is to see something in mental form that will become, can become, should become a reality. So I began to sit there, and I sat there for about another 10 minutes. And in my mind, I began to see. Now, those of you who just received that pamphlet, there's a kind of a picture of what this building is going to be looking like. It's going to be kind of like that. And so I had that in my mind, and I began to envision that, and I began to see it in my mind. I says, oh, Lord, continue to open my eyes. Well, then all of a sudden, I began to see not just a building, but I began to see parents and children coming. I saw a little African-American boy in my mind wearing a red shirt being dropped off by his parents to the preschool that will happen one day. I saw a little Asian girl, cute little girl with her pigtails, just kind of in a like little pigtails here, being dropped off. I began to see youth arriving and hundreds of youth. You know, last week we hosted a ethics workshop for Hanford High. There are over 1,000 kids, 1,000 seniors who were right sitting in this auditorium. All the chairs were removed, tables were set up. We began to talk to them about how to think in this day and age. You know, ethical problems and where they were at. And the things like that. And so after seeing that, all of a sudden I saw all these kids out there, and they had pink hair and purple hair, and they were dressed in gothic stuff, and they were dressed in lots of other type of stuff, and I mean a variety of things. I'm sitting in this place, and then all of a sudden I see me speaking to them, and I had 2 earrings in my ears. That's when I knew the vision was over and that God had just left the room. I don't know what it is for you. That's what this pastor, I need to have some eyes to see. God, you got to help us to see. You got to help us to commit to the eternal, not the temporal. You got to help us to be willing to sacrifice for what you want to do, not what I want people to do, but what you want us to do. God's given us an assignment. You know, Wow Jam is not an event. And I know we use that term, I've used it myself, but it's not an event, it's a missionary assignment for you and me. We are to touch this city. We're going to touch thousands of kids, thousands of people, troubled youth at this Wow Gem. I hate to have any of you miss that. I'm telling you, God wants to move wonderfully in this city. We've got to begin to see that with our eyes and not just, well, I've got my favorite television program's on Wednesday night. You know, I don't have a TiVo. Wish I did. If I did, I could go to this. But, you know, I don't know what the excuse is, but we got to get beyond that. The second thing that, if we're going to have our eyes open, is you got to depend upon God's promises. Do you notice that the first thing that Elisha did is he says, hey, don't be afraid. There's more with us than with them. Sounds like a scripture, doesn't it, to you? Greater is he that's within me than he that's within the world. I'll tell you, if you want to get a different perspective, if you want to have your eyes open to what God is really like, start reading his word and memorizing his promises. 2 Peter 1:4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption that is in the world caused by evil desires. I'll tell you, when you start reading and learning his promises, it opens your eyes to a brand new way of living. That's why I am so excited about Life Journals. I've been meeting with a small group for the last couple of weeks at Panera's at 7 o'clock. We just open up the Word together and journal together. I'm telling you, I thought by now, we started this in January, I thought by now your lead pastor would be out of gas. Man, I screwed up so many times, man. No, I don't want to do that anymore. I'm telling you, I'm gaining momentum. I'm looking forward to 2009 because when we get there, I tell you, the promises of God are going to be planted in our hearts. Who knows what God can do? Phenomenal things if we ever break loose of our temporal senses that keep us locked in, depending upon his promises. Thank you, Dolores. I'll receive that as a statement from everybody. The third thing we got to do is you got to listen to people who have experienced stuff that you haven't experienced. You got to listen to the testimony of other people. John 3:11 says, "I tell you the truth, we speak of what we know and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony." I don't want to be a part of those people. God has sent people to your life and they've told you some things, and because you haven't believed them in Jesus' name, you haven't been able to experience something that's beyond your frame of reference. Water baptism, a good example. Acts chapter 19. Do you remember that chapter? Paul goes into Ephesus. He says, "Hey, have you received the Holy Spirit?" Holy Spirit? I didn't even know there was a Holy Spirit. "Well, what have you received?" "Well, we've been baptized in John's baptism." That's baptism in water. He says, "Well, no, that's a baptism in water. But do you know that there's a Holy Spirit who wants to baptize you in power?" And because they believed the testimony of Paul, they were filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me tell you, this man's testimony, salvation is not just about forgiveness of sins. It's not just about being baptized in water and getting forgiven on Sunday just to sin on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday and come back on Sunday and say, "Forgive me, O God." Salvation is all about forgiveness, but then it's about empowering you and me to live Monday through Saturday for Him. Able to say no to sin, victoriously living in Him, overcoming whatever the enemy throws against us. And that happens if you open up to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit has a new language to give you. He has a new outlook to give you. He has gifts of healing and faith. He is able to deliver His power through you and to you. But some people may be even here this morning. You've never even heard that there was a Holy Spirit. But if you'll believe my testimony, and don't just believe me, start reading through the book of Acts. You'll start seeing in the Bible. I'm always a person who says, "Hey, don't just take my word for it. Let me show you in Scripture where it is." And then you come up with that conclusion, and you'll find out that there is a baptism in water, but there's also a Holy Spirit. And if you believe that testimony, your eyes will be opened. Amen. Fourth thing that happens, that if we're going to have our eyes open, Colossians 3 says you must set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. In other words, you and I have to consciously see what's going on, but we have to make an effort to look, not at those things, but to look at the eternal stuff. 2 Corinthians 4 says, "Man, we focus on what is not seen, because what is not seen is the eternal stuff. I'm going to focus on and keep my eyes upon what God says rather than what I see here." Have any of you had this experience? I had this just a short time ago. Someone was talking to me. Actually, I was talking to them, but they really were looking at someone beyond me. You ever had that? It's kind of like, excuse me, I'm talking to you. Hey, right here, folks, you and me. You know, it's just kind of like, you get kind of like, listen, if you're going to look at them, fine, but do you want to talk with me or not? And we've all had that experience where you're talking, but they're not really there. They're looking at someone else. See, that's what he's saying when he says, set your mind upon the eternal thing. You've got to be aware of the enemy. You've got to know his tactics. You've got to know when he pulls your trigger and causes you to enter into depression. You've got to know when he comes to tempt you, because he's looking for opportune times. But he can't be the center stage. He's got to be in your peripheral vision. You've got to keep looking for Jesus. Because I'm telling you, if you look for Jesus, you're going to find him. If you look for people in need this week, you're going to have, "Oh, I don't know, who do I minister to?" Man, keep your eyes open. I'm telling you, in the next 6 days, you will collide with someone who needs Jesus Christ. Someone who has a need. You will find it, but you've got to be looking for them. It's got to be a conscious thing. And if we'll do that, I tell you, God will open our eyes. Now, the last thing that we've got to do is we've got to have some Popeyes raised up. How many of you remember Popeye? That's a long time before some of you. Popeye was this scrawny little guy who had incredibly big biceps. As quick as my biceps get bigger, I'm going to get a tattoo of a chain all the way around. It's going to be a lot bigger than they are now. Popeye was this incredible guy. He had these big biceps, and he had this hot chick. Man, her name was Olive Oil. Kind of, you know, remember Olive Oil? Man, she was hotter than hot. And then there was this enemy, his name was Brutus. And every once in a while, Brutus would make kind of a move on Olive Oil. And Popeye would get ticked off. And he'd finally say these famous words, "I've had all I can stands, and I can't stands it no more." And he'd take some spinach, and he'd just go for it. His muscles would get big, and he'd overtake Brutus. Let me tell you, we need some people who say, "I'm sick and tired of being run by emotions. My happiness and joy isn't going to be based upon the economy, whether it's a recession or a depression. It's going to be based on something more than that. I'm sick of watching my kids go up and down and have me go up and down like on a roller coaster. I'm going to start seeing beyond what my kids are doing and what does God say about my kids, and I'm going to start focusing on that. I'm going to start focusing on what God says about this." You know, when I'm sitting out in that property, scriptures started to come to me. Philippians 1:6, "I began something, I'm going to finish something." Isaiah 45, "I have treasures hidden in dark places, in secret places that no one knows." God can provide $2 million for that. He can do that. How he's going to do it, I don't know. I'm just like you. I'm just saying, open my eyes to see. But we need some people who, just like Popeye, will say in bad English, "I can't stands it no more. I'm not going to give in to these emotions. I'm not going to let my sight, my hearing, my taste, my smell, my touch, I'm not going to allow that to dictate my final conclusions. I'm going to rest my life on the Word of God." And if we'll do these five things, church, I believe the prayer that Elisha prayed will happen for you and me. If we'll come to the Lord, if we'll just come to, if we'll read his promises and get them in our heart, if we'll listen to the testimony of others, if we will set our mind upon heavenly things and not just earthly things, not about getting stuff, but giving stuff to people who are in need, and then we'll let the spirit, I hate to say the spirit of Popeye, but you know what I mean, that conclusion says, I'm just sick and tired of being run around by my emotions. I'm going to run by the Word of God. Our eyes will be open. Why don't you stand with me as we conclude? Elders, wives, prayer teams, why don't you make your way down while I'm praying? Now, I think all of us need this prayer, but I think some of us specifically need this prayer, but I'm going to invite everyone to do it, but if you don't feel inclined to, don't feel like you have to. But with all of our eyes closed, if you are here today and you really are overwhelmed by your senses and all that you are confronting today, and you need to have your eyes open, just reach up. Everyone's eyes are closed. Just reach up and touch your eyes. Now, this is going to be good for anyone, but especially those. Now, I'm going to reach up my eyes to my eyes because I need to have them touched. And I'm just going to pray just exactly what Elisha prayed. Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, open the eyes of your servant so that he might see. And I ask you, God, whether it be a building to reach out to our community, for our youth, for our preschool, whether it's a personal need, whether it's a ministry that needs to be accomplished, I ask you to help us see beyond our own little world and understand that you have actually dispatched angels to minister to us. There are a garrison of angels that surround those who call upon your name. I know your word says that. Angel of the Lord encamps round those who love the Lord. So God, open our eyes to see that because you are for us, no one really can ultimately succeed by standing against us. Because it's not them standing against us, it's them standing against you. And because you're on our side, we will succeed. I thank you, Lord, for today, and I pray that this message and all that has happened in our service today, the singing of songs, the baptisms, the sharing of ministry that reaches globally, I pray that you would plant in our hearts the spirit and essence of what has happened today and send us away from this place full of the Holy Spirit, led not by our senses, but led by the Word of God. We pray these things in Jesus' name. You can take your hands down if you want to. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to follow Jesus, it would be our joy to have you come forward. Love to give you something free. You don't have to become a part of the church. You don't have to give any money. But I want to give you some books. I want to give you a book. I want to give you some material to help you grow in Jesus. If you want to make that decision today, come on down. Let us pray with you. God bless you today. Have a wonderful afternoon.